Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. I was reading this here, and it talks about in Ephesians 5, and he's saying here in verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Father, we just thank you today, God, for another opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. Open up your word. Father, we feel your presence. Lord, just let there be freedom and liberty, Lord, in this place. Lord, we are believing you. Lord, every time we come in here and every time that we open up the word, Lord, that you're going to do something, you're going to speak something. Father, I believe that you're ready to move across this country, across the world. You're just looking for those that are hungry and those that are preparing themselves to receive and to be, Lord, used and to be blessed of you. Lord, that's what we want today. Give us relevant revelation of the word. We're going to claim it right now in Jesus' name. Paul here begins to instruct the church in what to do when you come out of the darkness into that marvelous light. How many's done that already? Accepted Jesus as your Savior. Pastor, I've come out of the darkness into that light. Well, some of you could say, well, Pastor, I did that 40 years ago. So, well, let's just read this and see how you're doing. You see, the Bible's like the old cookbook. Remember the old cookbook? They would keep their, you know, the recipes in there. I remember my mom years ago. She would have a little thing with recipes and but whenever she would go, you know, to make her, you know, a special thing, you know, whether it was, you know, she was great with pies and she makes the best pumpkin pie. I'm hungry. I've been fasting. Bear with me. I was sitting back there in my office today, and somebody was wonderful enough to bless me with a big loaf of homemade bread. And I know that I can't eat until after the service, but so we may hurry through this. I don't know. But my mom, she would go and she'd bake the cakes and the pies and the oatmeal cookies. And she had a special, but when she would go back to, you know, to do those special things, she would always go back and get that recipe out, you know, and make sure she had the right exact ingredients. Well, that's what the Word of God is, church. That's just a reminder here of, you know, what God is expecting, what God has for you, what God is wanting to do in your life and through your life. Isn't that right? We can go back to the Word, church, and begin to understand. And it was funny, though, because whenever she would do something, you know, make something, it's like my wife's spaghetti. My wife makes the most wonderful spaghetti pasta, it's a recipe that came over from Italy with her grandparents on the boat years ago. And so when I first met her, I found out she was Italian, and I said, "Could you cook spaghetti?" She said, "We have our own special recipe." And a lot of people down through the years have tried to get that recipe off of her, and she said, "Well, I could give it to you, but then I'd have to kill you." Praying for her. Still that little Italian thing that's still there. Anyways, but there's people that like that. And, you know, I've seen people, you know, that will go and, you know, and maybe, you know, somebody wants their recipes and they'll go and give the recipe, but they'll leave a little something out. Anybody's ever seen people do that? Just to make sure that theirs is always a little bit better. I'm not going to leave anything out today. But this is something that we can take in a spiritual context, church. You know, when you get to the point that, you know, somebody comes up to you, how do you do that? How do you do that, Pastor? How do you stay happy when things aren't happy? How do you have that peace when things aren't peaceful? Believe me, there's a lot of times like that. How do you stand when the enemy comes in like a flood with the Spirit of the Lord there? So it stands up, sets up a standard against him. What's the recipe for success? Well, it's all right here in the Word. Everything that you need to know, everything that you're going through, everything that you need to get through, the recipe is right here in the Word of God. So whether you're going through something, a physical attack or a spiritual attack or an emotional thing, the recipe for that, for you to come through that thing unscathed and come through with the victory is right here in this Word. That's why church is so important for you to go back to the Word. Oh, let me see what it's going to take to get me through today. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. I gotta have good success today. Lord, what the Word promises that. God says, if you will do these things that I put in my word, you will go forward and you will have good success. Yes. That's what he promised. So we understand this, church. And what's the first thing? He said, be followers of God as dear children. Well, that's talking about imitators. How, you ever see children that will imitate their parents?
Yeah.
I'm talking about in a good way. Now, you got to understand that. You've got to be the good example, because if you're a bad example, they could end up doing the bad things. Anybody listening to me? Yeah, I've seen little children that had bad examples. The next thing you know, they got a little something little in their fingers like that. 3, 4, 5 years old. They don't know what they're doing. You got to be a good example. See, I was blessed. I was in church. I had good examples. You know what we did when we were little, and I was about 8, 9, 10 years old? We would come home, and we would have church. Me and my brother and my sister, they were younger than me. We'd get all the little Catholic kids in the neighborhood, and we would have church. My dad, we had a big garage, a big barn-like garage. We lived out in the country. And we would go in there. My dad set up a platform, and we had a little organ in there. And my dad cut off a broomstick for my microphone. My brother would get up, and he would lead songs. My sister would play the organ, and I would get up and preach. And at the end, I would come down, and I would pray for them. And they would fall down on the floor, and they would catch them. And then they'd come by with a little cloth and cover them up. Remember how they used to? We were having church. But, well, you know what it says? That's being an imitator. God wants us. What's he saying here in verse 2? Walk in love as Christ also loved us. So he set the example for us, church, and has given himself for us in offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So that's telling us here, church, to walk in his example. And his example of love includes sacrifice. Anybody listening to me? So as you begin to imitate him and walk in his love, there may be times that you may have to put yourself out for someone else. Says, okay, you may have to do something. You may have to go somewhere, reach out to somebody. Maybe you don't like him. Somebody will call that you don't want to call. Go see somebody that you don't want to see. Reach out and bless somebody that you don't want to bless. Pastor, they got more than I got, but God's dealing with me. Didn't do it. Because it's a sweet-smelling savor. When we go to church and we do those things, when we reach out and we are a blessing to somebody else, do you know, church, that that is a sweet smell to God? And I found out one thing, church, a good smell goes a long way in enticing someone else to partake. Anybody know what I mean? I can smell my wife's spaghetti from over here when she's cooking it, and it makes me want to get in there and take some of it. I got a little grandson, and ever since the time that he was young, I would offer him things, you know, like cookies or something. And everything that I would give him, I put in his hands. He always did this. And you know what? It rubbed off, and now the other ones do that. The other grandkids, even Roman, would go up and I'll offer him something that he doesn't know what that is. Let me smell that first and see if it's in you. Some of you adults have probably done that. Let me check this out for a minute. Well, and then it goes into some of the things that don't smell so good. Let me read here. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So if these things are in your life in any way, you better get rid of them right now. Yes. Amen. Either that or you're going to get cut out of it. Cut out of the inheritance that we have in the Lord. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not then partakers of them. For you were sometimes in darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus began to make it real plain, you know, when it talks about filthiness or foolish talking. In Matthew 15, he said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out.
That's right.
Got to be the Bible said the sweet and bitter water don't come out of the same thing. That gives a mixed message. If you're praising God one minute and complaining the next, that's going to bring confusion to somebody. That's a mixed message. God don't want that. I mean, he said, for you were sometimes darkness. And this is talking here, church. Did you read this correctly? Because it doesn't say not only in the dark, but you were darkness. Well, what do we know about darkness? Well, we know you can't see good in the dark. Who likes to walk around in a room in the dark? Chances increase that you're going to get hurt. I go out there the other morning. It was wonderful because the night before, you know, everything was, it was beautiful. I go out the other morning and I didn't realize, you know, that it had iced over on my deck. I go out to put the dog out and I did one of these. Way out. Didn't know I could go that far. Suffered with it the rest of the day. Anybody know what I mean? But we see, church, you know, in the light, you can see things and you can avoid things. There are things you don't want to run into, isn't that right? You can avoid things that, you know, I've also found out that imagination intensifies in the dark. How many remember when you were little? I remember when I was little, we did live in that old, it was an old farmhouse years ago, and it was a big, beautiful place, and I loved growing up there. But my brother and I, we shared a bedroom, and it was a big room. And in the middle of the room was the light. And if you remember, there was in those days, there was the lights that had a string on them. Anybody remember those? And that light, that string was in the middle of the room. God help us. So my brother would get in bed, and I would pull the light and run for the bed. And then we'd get in bed, and then all of, you know, we'd be laying in, and all of a sudden, you know, it was dark, and it was, all of a sudden, you could imagine things. Wait a minute, who's that over there? That's your coat that you hung up. Anybody know what I mean? All of a sudden, in the dark, you begin to, things begin to, I remember a time when I got a little ventriloquist dummy for Christmas. I was young at the time, and I got a little ventriloquist dummy for Christmas, and oh, that's what I wanted, and I'd work that thing. You know, we had so much fun with that, and I'd be able to say things through that little dummy that I, you know, I couldn't say in. Anybody listening to me? Well, anyways, we got there, and we'd go, and we'd play with that thing, and I'd put him up in the closet, and we'd go. Until one night, I watched this TV show about this dummy that was trying to take over his master. Me and my brother, and we laid there in the dark that night, and we saw him up in the closet. Well, my Bible tells me, church, and back over in the book of Genesis, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was continually evil. You know, this is something, church, that we find in the darkness. In the darkness, there's fear. In the darkness, there's promiscuity. In the darkness, a lot of times, there's deceit. And what does the word say here? You were darkness at one time. So in other words, you were one of those that caused maybe fear or maybe caused someone to stumble. Well, mom and dad, they began to understand that we were having a problem at night. So they went and they got us this soldier that stood about this high, and he lit up. It was a nightlight, so that we would go into that room and we wouldn't have any more problems. Because before that soldier, I would get up in the middle of the night if I had to go to the bathroom and had to find that string. Boy, it was a mission. And God help me if I bumped it and it started swinging. But they went and they got the soldier, and all of a sudden we felt good. Light came into our darkness, and we were bold and we were brave. We'd lay there and talk all night long, me and my brother. We'd just carry on and have a good old time. This is like daylight. And everything would go good unless the soldier's bulb burned out. And then we were back. How many's ever had a need for a flashlight? You know, you're working in a dark area, or maybe the power goes out, and you can't, and when you need it the most, that's when you can't find it. Nobody's ever seen that. Oh, I can just imagine God sometimes. Oh, I need somebody to be a light. I need, there's darkness over here in Ponca City, and I'm looking for a light.
There you go.
Oh, isn't it a terrible thing when you finally find the flashlight and it's, the battery's dead. after all that, and the relief that you had when you finally found it, and not only to find it, there's nothing worse. Because the fleshlight then is not fulfilling its purpose. Somebody listening to me. You know, I'm saying this because there's a lot of Christians that walk around with dead batteries. Somebody helping me. No prayer, no word, no church. Yet they've accepted Christ. But, you know, and because of that, what happens to the disciples? They find themselves in a position one day where there's a man that brought his son to them who was a lunatic. Somebody that was bound and possessed by the devil. And the devil that was in him would take him and throw him into the fire or throw him into the water to try to kill him. And he brought him to the disciples. He came to Jesus one day and he said, I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing. Somebody listen to me. I don't want God looking for a light. I don't want God looking for somebody to shine in the midst of this dark world that we're living in and not be able to find anybody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I believe, church, that you and I, God is speaking something to us this morning. He didn't call us out of darkness just to get us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for you and I to be a light.
Yes.
And finally they came to Jesus and Jesus cast the devil out of the boy. Bring the boy here. And when the devil saw that he was, all of a sudden he throws the kid down and they pick the kid up and Jesus cast the devil out of him and he's completely whole. The disciples looked at him and said, how come we couldn't do that? He said, oh, you little faith. First of all, you got to have faith. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes your faith is working. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can believe God. Sometimes you're having a hard time. Anybody? Yeah, but I'm looking for somebody that's got faith. I need somebody to come in and light up the room. Don't you love people that come in and light up a room? Somebody to come in and bring a dark cloud with them. Boy, it was nice in here till they got here. Now all of a sudden. But what's he say? He said, nevertheless, these things come forth by fasting and prayer. They were dealing with a demon. They were dealing with a devil. They were dealing with a demonic spirit that was going to take somebody fasting and somebody praying to be able to lay hands and cast that devil out. Somebody helping me. So in other words, your battery is a little low. This is going to take faith. This is going to take fasting. This is going to take prayer. These kind cometh forth by that. By now, church, what's it say? By now, you are light. But now you are light. Matthew 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill. How many know there's the three most important things in real estate? Location, location, location. See, church, we're not to hide the light under a bushel. But we're supposed to be like that flashlight, you know, that's dead. It's not serving its purpose if we hide the light under a bushel. See, somebody, I believe, church, that there are those around us. Somebody needs to see that there's healing. Somebody needs to see that there's forgiveness. Somebody needs to see that there's freedom. Somebody needs to see in this dark world, church, that there is hope. And we know the truth, church, it is Jesus. And they're not going to be able to see it, church, if we keep it hid. A lot of times today, people, all they want to do is confine the light to the church. Somebody help me. That's as far as their light reaches. We come into a dark room with a little flashlight, and chances are it's not going to go very far. You'll be able to only see a certain distance. But he's talking about being a city that's set on a hill. He's trying to get. I don't believe that God wants us to confine the light to the four walls of the church.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. It may start here, and you may need to be to edify the body, but God wants us to get it outside the church. Because a lot of times, if we're wanting just to confine my light to the church, a lot of times we're doing that because it's about me. Somebody listening to me. Oh, I want the church to see me. That's not what God wanted. God didn't call you or gift you or give you time or bless you or make you that light to confine it to the... He wants you to get out there with the right attitude, with that born-again, spirit-filled, blood-bought attitude, and let somebody see that there's still a God that will heal the sick, forgive your sins, will set you free. Ooh, anybody know what I'm talking about? We have the light of the world. In verse 10, he said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is what pleases God. That's how we need to live. This is how you're supposed to. This is what pleases God. He said, once coming into the light, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Anybody listening to me? Once you come in, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works. That's talking about some of the movies you watch. Somebody help me. If that's dark, don't have any fellowship. Don't sit there for 2 hours and a half and watch that thing.
That's right.
Quiet. Don't get on the Facebook and indulge in an hour's worth of darkness. Fellow. You know, when I was, I told you when we were children, we would go and we would come home from church and we would play church. And we would have a great time out there having church. And then the next day, I was Batman. Somebody listen to me. You know why? Because I was playing church.
Yes.
Somebody help me. See, this is the problem that we have a lot of times, church. This is how that we end up coming out of darkness into his marvelous light, but still having dabbling with and having fellowship. One minute we're super spiritual, the next minute we're not. Next minute we're all fired up, ready to have revival, and the next minute we're just, it's hard to get me back in church. Quiet in here. Is this okay? The problem a lot of times, too, it goes on to talk about here, church, in verse 14, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. Do you hear this? See, fellowship with the works of darkness will bring about spiritual sleep if you're not careful. You continue to, after he's brought you into his light, if you continue to have fellowship with the works of darkness, it will lull you to sleep. Next thing you know, church, and you know what I found out about sleep is that you don't know you're sleeping until you wake up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Somebody listening to me. Oh, I've seen people in church, you know, that will struggle to stay awake. In when I see that, church, you know what? I God, you're going to stir me up. Lord, just anoint me in a way that will, you know, bring life to somebody. Come on, somebody. Because if you've got those around you that are have fallen into a sleep, maybe we shouldn't look as much at them as maybe us. Maybe we're, because I found out one thing, church, it's easier to fall asleep in darkness.
Yes.
Somebody listening to me. It's harder when you're laying there like this, you know, with the lights shining bright on you to fall asleep. But you turn those lights out and you get it real nice and quiet, nice and cool in there. Well, you're not going to be able to stay awake.
Amen.
But you know what? So a lot of times, church, maybe the ones around you that are still in darkness, maybe it's because you haven't been the light that you need to be. Maybe the anointing is not what it should be in you. That's got you to the point, church, that you're able to come on, somebody help me. What's he saying here, church? Walk circumspectly, carefully. Even in the light, people can become careless. Somebody help me. How many have seen that? You don't just fall, you know, in the dark or stumble in the dark. I've seen people take some falls in the daylight. Slipped, stumbled, didn't realize that the deck was iced. All of a sudden, sir, church, this is trying to tell us something. We need to pay attention to how we walk. Not just go through the motions, church, you know, but really decide, wait a minute, I'm going to be spiritually alert. I'm going to be aware. He says, walk carefully, not as fools. One scholar connected this phrase with the worship of an ancient god named Bacchus, who that they in those days they worshiped with a careless kind of party mentality. You know, it's like, you know, they were going about their ways and they were enjoying themselves and doing their own thing during the day. And then every once in a while they'd throw, "Hi, Bacchus." That'd be their worship. That's the kind of thing, you know, that what's this telling us here? Be careful how you walk, not as fools. Don't get to the point that you're just walking through life in a regular, this is my Monday, this is my Tuesday, this is my Monday. How many realize, church, when you get in the Word of God and you find a little place of prayer, you find a little time for Jesus, all of a sudden your Monday won't be the average Monday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, your Tuesday won't be the same old Tuesday. It won't be the same old, because people, you know how people get burnt out on those kind of things? But just every day is the same, Pastor. It's just another mundane day. But it doesn't have to be that way with God. Every day, He will bring excitement to you. He will bring faith to you. He will bring an expectation that today could be the day that the Lord really does something in my life. I don't know about anybody else. I'm looking for some big things. And I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know when God's going to do it. So it keeps me looking for it. I don't know about anybody else, church, in the church today, but I'm looking for a great move of God. I come in here on a Sunday morning. I don't know if it's going to be the day or when it's going to happen, but I believe He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit. This is something, church, I begin to see. Even when I read something like that, you got to go back to the recipe. How do I succeed? Am I going to have a good week? Am I going to have a good month? How's this year going to be the most productive? I'm giving it to you right here. He's telling us, He said, go on. He said, redeem the time, for the day is evil. That means buying up every opportunity that you have to do good. To do good may cost you something. Because the day is evil gives us a greater opportunity to be light. Do you hear this? I believe that, church, that evil has become bold. Come on. I'm going to see it around you. The devil has become bold. I see it even in the politics today. These men will say things. They'll just put it right out there in front of you. This is what we believe. Like it or not, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way of the world today. You're going to accept this. This is the way that we feel that things should be. And you're going to accept that. But I find, church, that this is what He's talking about. He said that He's making us an example. He wants us to be a light. And especially, He said, as the day grows evil. And we are living in that evil day. And we find, church, that because it's become more evil and become more apparent and we become more aware of it, I believe that it would make it easier to see God. Anybody listening to me? How many believe that because of the world that you're living in today, it would be easier to see good? Because the world is so rotten and so ugly. I think it would be a lot easier when you see something good to identify, hey, that's different. Huh? Those people are happy. The rest of the world's bad. Come on. Put your news on for, 5 minutes and you'll find some really angry people. And it's not on the left or on the right. It's just everybody. Everybody's angry because everybody's wanting their way. They're wanting you to go along with their way. Oh, my goodness. But I believe, church, because the world has gotten so evil, because it's gotten so bold, and the devil has gotten. But I believe, church, it would be so much easier for us to represent God. Wait a minute, it don't have to be that. It don't have to be that way. This is what I told the Native Americans when in my last church, when I came out there and began to preach on their reservation. I told them, I said, I know how you've been in bondage for generation after generation. I know what the drugs and the alcohol have done to you. I know the abuse that it has caused and that you have taken. Because let me tell you something. When alcohol is involved, there's going to be abuse. That's right. I'm just putting it out there today. This is why he goes in a little bit further here and begins to talk about it. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Do you know, I read something the other day that 140,000 people a year die from alcohol-related causes. 140,000 people a year die from alcohol-related causes. That's just not just talking about physically, you know. Because when I was dealing with my Native American congregation out there, many of them, their lifespan was like 35 to 40 years old. I can't tell you how many that have died since I have left out there. And it's because of the years of abuse. But I went in there and I began to give them Jesus, and I began to let them understand, I don't care how long you've been bound. I don't care how long you've been sick. I don't care how long that it's been this way. I don't care how long there has been that abuse because of all the things that you've dealt with. I know that it doesn't have to be that way. God has got power to change things. I don't care about the generational curses. I don't care how long it's been you've been bound. I got a God that when he sets you free, you're free. You don't have to deal with that mess anymore. 140,000 a year. What's the matter with that? But it says, don't be drunk with wine. But be filled with the Spirit. Wouldn't you like to see 140,000 people a year being filled with the Spirit?
Oh, yeah.
Man. I think, church, that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to use you and I to be a contrast. Okay, there you got 140 death. There you got 140 that's got found life and life abundant. You got 140,000 being filled. Oh, God's ready to move. God's ready to do something. Church, I'd be happy to see just this church be completely filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's start there. Can we do that?
Yeah.
This is what it's talking about here, church. Because the Holy Spirit will, he's a stimulant. He will benefit you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will empower you to bring glory to God. That's what it's, there's always a goal there. See, the Holy Ghost wants to come in church just not just to cause you to speak in tongues, but to bring glory to God. To give you power to overcome the enemy. And when you overcome the enemy, when you're able to stand against him and say no, it brings glory to God.
Amen.
When you're able, church, to lay hands on the sick and see him heal, that's going to bring glory to God. When you cast out devils in the name of Jesus, when you command the enemy to leave your home.
Yes. That's right.
This is all about contrast. Between the difference between light and darkness, good and evil, excess of the world of being filled with the Spirit, and the power, church, to exchange. You know, this is what's happened. When we came to the Lord, we exchanged. Isn't that right? We made an exchange. I got rid of me, and I got him. Old things passed away. All things became new. There was an exchange there. I'm getting rid of something. I'm laying it down. I don't want that anymore. Come on, somebody. You ought to make up your mind.
Amen.
You know, it talks about here in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Amen.
This is what we're talking about. This is what we should be representing, church. Don't have to be that way. Look at me. Isn't that right? Come on, somebody. I was talking to a couple of the men before church, and they said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe the way that it used to be. We were the worst. I said, look at you now. Oh, look what the Lord has.
Amen.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion represents the church. So it's saying here, church, that God has appointed us what? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Did you hear that? That's talking about exchange. That's somebody that's decided to come out of darkness into his light. That's talking about somebody that has this. You know what? I love this. God has appointed unto us beauty for ashes. That's talking about every time you've been burned. Somebody listening to me.
Come on, brother, come on.
Nobody's ever been burned. I'm not talking about that. Ooh! My boys will always come running when they hear me scream. because they know I have a tendency, if I'm doing something to get on the stove or something, that when they hear Dad, ow! They always come running, and they have the biggest smile on their face. What happened, Dad? You got burned again, didn't you? Nobody's ever been burned in a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You made you feel like you didn't want to relate anymore. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft. I got burned. I got burned and I learned. Got burned on a job. How many of you ever got burned in a deal? Oh, you thought for sure this was a great car. You end up with a clunker. Some people get burned in church to the point they don't want God no more. Somebody listening to me? Exodus 9, God told Moses to take the ashes from the furnace. This is when he's going to deliver them out of Egypt. I got something I want you to do. Take the ashes out of the furnace, scoop them up, and throw them up into the air. And when he did this, church, it goes and he comes to Pharaoh and he said, God told me to do this. Scrape up the ashes. And when it came down, church, it became boils. It became burns on all the men and all the beasts of Egypt. Suddenly they were attacked with boils. Just think about that. And as I'm reading this, this is talking about, church, as you're throwing those ashes up, this is about giving it to God.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. That relationship that you got burned, give that to God. That job that you got burned on that you just didn't even feel like going back to. Or that, anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
That deal that you made, or that church that hurt you, that preacher, that, give that to God. Because, church, when all of a sudden we do that, you know what it does? It comes down. God takes those things that we have been burned by and will turn and use that against the enemy.
Yes.
By using this as a great testimony, when God gets a hold of you and heals you and turns you around.
Yes.
Come on, somebody know what I mean. How many have been burned and then ended up getting healed and had a great testimony? Oh, Pastor, I got burned all right. But you know what? God came and God healed me. I got a testimony out of it. I went through a real bad time. I went through a physical thing or emotional thing or a financial thing or a spiritual thing. And you know what? God came through for me. I'm not the person that I used to be. Let me let somebody know that the thing that the enemy used against me, God has turned it around and gave me a praise and gave me a testimony that I'm now using against them. Devil, look what God can do. Once we give that hurt to God, church, he's able to anoint us with the oil of joy. All that joy that flowed down Aaron's beard, that anointing. That joy, church, that you have, that every thought will bring you joy. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Everything you put your hands to bring you joy. Every place that you put your feet will look. You know why? Because you exchanged that hurt for the joy of the Lord. You got to make up your mind. I'm ready to get happy.
There you go.
Come on, somebody. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of being depressed. It's just okay. Because think about this, church, that spirit of heaviness, that oppression, that depression, you're ready to exchange it for a garment of praise. That negative complaining for that garment of praise, I'm not going to be a victim of depression anymore. That's where it starts. You got to make up your mind. I'm not going to be a victim of my past anymore. I'm not going to be a victim of my current financial situation any longer. Come on, somebody, help me. I'm not going to be a victim of that problem, family problem or my physical problem. I'm exchanging the ashes. I'm exchanging my mourning. I'm exchanging that spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. How many church ever? Anybody ever exchange something You ever buy something at the store and it's not what you thought it was going to be? You get it home and all of a sudden it's not working like it's supposed to work. You get home and you bought that shirt that you, it looked so good hanging on the hanger, and you get it home. You can't get it. That's all right. I don't mind walking like this. It's okay, Pastor. It'll just cause me to lose a few pounds. Why? Because you don't want to deal with exchanging it. Uh-huh. Just feel sorry for all those around you, though, because everybody in your area is in danger of losing an eye if that button goes. Do we think about that? Until you decide to exchange the darkness for light, others just have to put up with your addiction. Until you decide you're going to make an exchange, everybody around you has to put up with your moods. Somebody helping me. I'm almost done, but I'm just giving you this last little bit of word. Until you decide, church, to make the exchange, those around you have to put up with your financial problems. Next thing you know, all they do is help you out.
Yes, come on.
Until you decide to exchange your fear for faith, people around you have to deal with your panic attacks. Your temper, your complaining. How many people have to tolerate your misery? You know why? Because we have a tendency to settle for that shirt that's too tight because I don't want to deal with going back and exchanging it for something that actually works. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? People today, they'd rather medicate. World convince you to medicate your anxiety or your... God said, I'll set you free from that. You got a choice this morning, church. I'm going to exchange the darkness for light, the evil for good, the ashes for beauty, the morning, church, for joy. Anybody ready to exchange the poverty for prosperity?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody listen to it. You're sitting here this morning, church, and it's come down to, this is the way Bartimaeus was. Bible said, blind Bartimaeus sat by the way, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. And you know what he did, church? He started crying out, Jesus, thou son of God, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
They said, calm down, quiet down. You're going to upset things. We don't do things that way. Jesus, he got louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, come here. And he casting away his garment, that garment that identified him as blind, that kept him in a place where he could beg and people would give to him because they recognized, they identified who he was. But he reaches a point, I'm ready to exchange that. Anybody getting this with me? I'm ready to exchange that garment. I'm ready to exchange that menial way of living. I'm ready to exchange my life. I'm sitting on the roadside begging for eyesight, for the blessing, for a miracle from the hand of God.
That's right. Come on.
We sit here this morning, church. Maybe you're dealing with things that you're trying it's not working. God is saying, I brought you here to give you a chance to exchange that. Somebody listen to me this morning. Disciples, they're out there fishing. Jesus comes by and says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they decide to exchange a lucrative fishing business to follow after Jesus. Is this okay with anybody? I've gotten to the point, church, I'm ready to exchange church as usual for Holy Ghost revival.
There you go. There you go.
Somebody agreeing with me right now. Oh, Pastor, come on, somebody. We need to come in here with that kind of an attitude, that kind of a mentality. I'm ready to come in here and exchange church as usual for a great move of the Holy Ghost. Somebody get ready to get blessed. Somebody stand to your feet with me all over the building this morning.